Te Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yogadeshamupasadya Dharayanto Munivataha Samahita Dhiya Sarva Itadabhyasatadritaha Yogadeshamupasadya Dharayanto Munivataha Samahita Dhiya Sarva Itad Abhyasatadritaha Yogadesham Upasadya Dharayanto Munivataha Samahita Dhiya Sarva Itad Abhyasatadritaha Yogadesham Upasadya Adesham. This instruction of Bhakti Yoga. Upasadya. Constantly breathing. Dharayantaha. And taking within the heart. Munivrataha. Just take the vow of the great sages. The vow of silence. Samahita, always fixed in the mind. Diha, with intelligence. Sarve, all of you. Etat, this. Abhyasata, practice. Ajitaha, with great reverence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Kiricha. My dear princes, in the form of a prayer, I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All of you should take this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently like a great sage and by giving attention and reverence, you should practice this method. Please repeat. My dear princes, in the form of a prayer, I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All of you should take this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently like a great sage, and by giving attention and reverence, you should practice this method. Purport. In the Hatha Yoga system, one has to practice bodily exercises, dhyana, dharana, asana, meditation, etc. One also has to sit in one place in a particular posture and concentrate his gaze on the tip of the nose. There are so many rules and regulations for the Hatha Yoga system that it is practically impossible to perform in this age. The alternative system of Bhakti Yoga is very easy, not only in this age, but in others as well. For this yoga system was advocated long ago by Lord Shiva, when he advised the princes, the sons of Maharaj Prachinabharhishat. The Bhakti Yoga system is not newly introduced, for even 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna recommended this Bhakti Yoga as the topmost yoga, as Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shadhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mata. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The topmost yogi is he who constantly thinks of Krishna within himself and chants the glories of the Lord. In other words, this system of Bhakti Yoga has been existing from time immemorial and is now continuing in this Krishna consciousness movement. The word Muni Vrataha is significant in this regard because those who are interested in advancing in spiritual life must be silent. Silence means talking only of Krishna Katha. This is the silence of Maharaj Ambarish. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayor Vachamshi Vaikunta Guna Nuvarnane. King Ambarish always fixed his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord and talked of him only. We should also take this opportunity in life to become as good as a great saint, simply by not talking unnecessarily with unwanted persons. We should either talk of Krishna or chant Hare Krishna undeviatingly. This is called Muni Vrata. The intelligence must be very sharp, samahita dhyā, and should always be acting in Krishna consciousness. The words etad, abhyasatadritaha indicate that if one takes these instructions from a spiritual master with great reverence, adrita, and practices them accordingly, you will find this bhakti yoga process to be very, very easy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So there's two very strong points in this purport. And the first one is that one should always talk about Krishna. One should always speak about Krishna. And the second one is that this process is very easy. So we'll mainly discuss these two points this morning. This process is given here that one should always speak about Krishna. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says that the common people, they have many, many hundreds and millions of topics to speak about. Rajini, what is that verse? Shoto Vyadini Rajendra, Nuinam Santi Zahasrasham. Apasyatam Atmatattvam Griheshu Griha Medinam. So those who are addicted to the material, the mundane social interaction, they're addicted to all these topics. Gramya Kata. He said this, she said that, he did that, she did that. All of these things. Unlimited. Sahasrata, Nunam Santi Sahasrataha. There's millions and millions of topics. But a yogi is being described here, as Lord Shiva is saying. The yogi is silent. He's very silent. He doesn't have millions of topics, millions of things to talk about. And Srila Prabhupada is giving us the essence, clarifying that this ultimately means to speak about the Lord. It's a positive process. So, as Prabhupada's making the point, this bhakti yoga process has been around forever. It's not a new thing. As Prabhupada says here, this bhakti yoga system is not something, what does he say? Somewhere here that this system of bhakti yoga has been existing from time immemorial. It's now continuing in this Krishna consciousness movement. Somewhere else he said it, that it's not lately imported or something. Yeah, here we go, yeah. The bhakti yoga system is not newly introduced. For even 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna recommended this bhakti yoga as the topmost yoga. We can see also in the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj attaining perfection, that Dhruva Maharaj was also, he was chanting this mantra that we just chanted, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Narada Muni gave him this process of chanting the mantra of meditating on the Lord in the heart. So this bhakti yoga process is the essence of all processes. And all other spiritual processes that are given in other ages are merely as a support for this actual essential, the essence of spiritual process, which is to remember Krishna in the heart. So Krishna gives this verse, Yoginam apisavresham madgarinam taratmana shodhavan bhajate yomam sama yukta tamomata. So coming to the second point, where Prabhupada says it twice in this purport, that this system of yoga is very easy, but we may think, why am I struggling so much if it's very easy? So if we look at this verse here that Krishna is giving of the definition of what is a topmost yogi, we can see what is the essence of what he's saying and what it means to be the topmost yogi, to be Krishna conscious, and why it's very easy. Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham, of all yogis, Mad gaten antar atmana. Mad mai gate mai. They make me the goal, or they keep attaining me as the goal. Mad gate antar within atmana, within their heart. They keep me as the goal of their life, Krishna is saying. Mad gaten antar atmana. Shraddhavan, with great faith, they believe that if I perform this bhakti yoga process, I will attain my ultimate perfection. I will attain everything that all spiritual desires. I will attain pure, unalloyed happiness, pure satisfaction, ultimate happiness. Shraddhavan, faith. Bhajate your mam, bhajate worship. Your mom, me, Krishna said, worship me. Same yuktata mo mata. That is my opinion. That's what I'm thinking, mata ima. That's what I'm thinking, Krishna is saying. That's how I see things, Krishna says. So Krishna doesn't say that everything material will go perfectly, that you'll have the perfect material life, you'll be beautiful like a demigod, all your children will obey every word, your wife or husband will be like a demigod and obey everything, fulfill all your desires. No. He says this is the essence. This is what it means to be the topmost yogi. Means to make Krishna as the goal. Mad gaten antar atmana. That whatever one does, the topmost yogi, whatever he, she does, Krishna is the goal, not something else. And Shraddhavan Bhajate Yomam, we worship Krishna with great faith. So actually this is very, very easy to do. A very easy thing. We may be in the greatest difficulty, but who can say that it's difficult to think of Krishna as our goal? That ultimately we have our goal is to attain love of Krishna. Prema Pumata Maha. That is our goal. Not mundane success, mundane achievement. Na patista, puja, respect, etc. No, our goal is attaining Krishna, Krishna's service. And we have faith in that. So externally there may be so much problem, but the devotee accepts that as some reaction from the past karmas. Actually, Queen Kunti prayed that let more problems come externally, because then internally I think of Krishna, I rely on Krishna. Internally I'm thinking that Krishna is the goal, because when everything's fine, when everything's going very nice, we become a little bit like a demigod. In the heavenly planets everything's very nice, very beautiful. Everybody's very beautiful, there's no car accidents. People don't even grow old. Very nice things to drink. Beautiful music. But it's described that the demigods, they understand, they're praying to come to this earth where there is some problem, there is some pinprick of this material energy that they can start to think, What am I actually doing here? Why? Who am I? What is this interaction? What is the ultimate? What is actually the real nature of my existence, the nature of God, the nature of the universe? This can happen more easily when there is some problem, some difficulty in the life. Jesus said something like, harder for a rich man to pass through the kingdom of heaven than an elephant through the eye of the needle or something. Everybody understands that when things are going wonderfully, it's very intoxicating. And one can very easily forget the goal of life. So Queen Kunti prays, let these difficulties come. Let difficult things come that I have to remember. Krishna is the goal of my life, not something else. And I have to have faith in Krishna. You can't go through some difficulty if you don't have faith. You'll try to make some arrangement. Try to make some separate arrangement. And that's there. Maharaj Prataparudra, he wanted very much to see Lord Chaitanya, but there were so many impediments placed in front of him, he practically gave up. He said to Kashi Mishra and others, he said, I'm going to give up my life if I can't see Lord Chaitanya. He said, I'm the king of Jagannath Puri. Everybody else can see Lord Chaitanya, but I can't see him. What kind of perfection is that? So he went through so many tribulations and problems. It was so difficult for him. But when he actually came to meet Lord Chaitanya, when he actually had that chance in the garden by the side where the Rath Yatra was going, he was able to meet Lord Chaitanya, and he dressed very normally. Actually, it was very, very easy, the actual process. He dressed like a Vaishnava, and he went and he massaged the Lord's calves, and he spoke one verse about the glories of Vrindavan. So he didn't stand on his head for 50 years. He didn't hold his breath underwater. He didn't do it. He just said a verse glorifying Krishna. So though externally there may be so many problems and so many issues, maybe so difficult, but the actual essence of the process is very, very easy, as Prabhupada is saying. So if we find that our devotional service is very, very difficult, something is very, very difficult to do, either we're being given a very difficult service by our spiritual master, and in that way we can very easily check with our spiritual master, our spiritual authorities, that is this what you want me to be doing? It's very, very difficult. And they'll say yes. It's like Prabhupada would say to his disciples, and they say it's very difficult to distribute your books. Prabhupada would say, yes, it's very difficult, but go and do it. I want you to do it. So they had no doubt. It's very difficult, but the Guru has given that instruction, so one follows that. One follows it through. Another possibility is that something's very, very difficult, and it's possible that something that Krishna doesn't want us to do is something to do with our material conditioning. And if we remember always that the goal is to have Krishna in our heart, to make Krishna our goal, and to have faith in Him, then we can see a lot of times that this is unnecessary. This very troublesome endeavor that I'm undergoing is actually unnecessary. It's not sanctioned by Guru Krishna. It's something from my past conditioning that that's coming up. And I don't need to do it. I need to think about Krishna in my heart and make Him the goal. In the history of Bharat Maharaj, there's one verse there in that description that describes when Maharaj Bharat actually fell down from his spiritual consciousness. It says that it was due to his past karma. So karmanam something, it says there. Due to his karma. And Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they explain that, yeah, this is due to his past karma, but the only reason it's acting on him is because he stopped thinking of Krishna, because he stopped this process. Mad gatinantar atmana. He stopped making Krishna as the goal of his activities. It's described that he would be doing his pujas, he would be thinking about Krishna as the goal, worshipping, doing sacrifices and different things. And then the deer would, you know, make some noise, or the deer wasn't there, he would drop it. He would stop chanting his mantras. He would stop doing his pujas, and he would go and chase after and check out where the deer was. Is the deer okay? Everybody knows the story of Bharat Maharaj? So he would go and check. So he had stopped this process of madgatanantaratmana. He stopped the process of making Krishna consciousness as his goal. He put his goal to be the effect looking after the deer as number one. Looking after a deer is not bad, the Acharyas explain. That's okay, as long as it's number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like that. Number one has to be Krishna. What is the goal? If you have a very strong goal, somebody wants to be a doctor, then they make that their goal. They study hard at school, they go to university, they become a doctor. If somebody else at a certain point, like they may meet some significant other person and that person's not into them being a doctor, so they have to make a choice. Is their goal to have a nice, you know, relationship, marriage, etc., whatever, or is their goal to be a doctor? And at that point they have to choose what is their main goal. And according to what is their main goal, then that they will follow, that they will pursue. So the same process is there for us, for devotees, as is being described. Krishna said, Madgaten, make me the goal. Antaratmana, in your heart. Always make me the goal. So, as soon as Maharaj Bharat stopped making Krishna the goal and made looking after the mundane body of the animal the goal, then immediately the karma started to work again. Immediately his past karma started to work, because he's again entering into the material sphere. He's entering into the realms of karma. This is also a very, very good lesson as well. So the second main point about this point about being silent, that the residents of Vrindavan, they weren't sitting around being silent like great sages, but they were always thinking, talking about Krishna. Of course, this is not our process, is to sit around and be silent, to not say anything. Srila Prabhupada is very, very strong on different so-called gurus that would say you have to be silent, or you have to not listen to anyone else. This is the goal. And many times if you listen to Prabhupada's conversations, it's very humorous that the devotees would say, oh, there's this guru, and he says, you know, you shouldn't listen to anyone. You should just be silent. Everybody should be silent and just feel it from within. And don't listen to anyone. Don't follow anything. And he's written a whole book about it. So Prabhupada would say, what is that? He's saying, don't listen to anyone. Everybody should just be silent, should just feel from within the spiritual, whatever. And he's writing a book, but we're supposed to listen to him. He's saying, don't listen to anyone. But he's writing a book that's saying that. So he's saying, oh, so this is, Prabhupada would immediately point out the flaw in this kind of logic. So anyway, this is the point, is that we're following a process. This Bhakti Yoga process, it's not a theoretical process. It's not something on the intellectual platform. Just like if you want to become a doctor, if you want to become a carpenter, if you want to become a teacher, if you want to become anything in the world, you have to associate with those people who are doing that. And by their association, you come to understand how to act in that position, how a doctor sees an x-ray, how a doctor treats a patient who is very difficult, how a lawyer, you know, stays aloof from the whole emotional ups and downs of the case so that he can properly present the thing. How it's actually done, not theoretical. So Bhakti Yoga is like that. We're being taught how the pure devotees, how they act, what they do, what is their life. Huh? So the pure devotees, they are always talking about Krishna. And we're therefore being shown, if we all also always talk about Krishna, always talk about Krishna in his leela or his philosophy or his association, his society, his mission, all of these things, then we also become gradually like a pure devotee. We become a pure devotee, not like a pure. We become pure devotees, because a pure devotee is, as Krishna's saying here, a topmost yogi is someone who always has faith in him, who always makes him the goal, is always talking about him. It's a very nice pastime when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and he went to Katwa and took sannyas. He was with five associates, went with him, Sri Nityananda Prabhu and others. And he was wanting to go to Vrindavan, but Nityananda Prabhu tricked him and brought him to the house of Advaita Acharya. And he'd been away from Mayapur for 10 days. So Mother Sachi and all the devotees, they had been associating with Lord Chaitanya, you know, every single day. Every single day, Mother Sachi had been cooking for him, associated directly with the Supreme Lord. And then all of a sudden, he's not there. And all of the devotees, they were doing kirtan with Lord Chaitanya every single night. You know, every day, going around Navadvip, having his intimate association, every single day. So it's said there that, it's described that Mother Sachi, she was in such separation from Lord Chaitanya that she was actually manifesting the mudras as Mother Yashoda. She is Mother Yashoda herself, and she's come in that lila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So she was manifesting that mood, and she was saying, where is Krishna Balaram? Have they come back from the pastures yet? Where are they? I haven't seen them all day. I'm so worried. Maybe they've, you know, had some problem, something in that, you know, Krishna's, you know, stuck his foot on some thorn or something. Where is he? Like this, she was just talking all about Vrindavan. You know, where are the cows? Where's the calves? Where's Krishna Balaram with the calves? And like this, nobody could really understand what she was saying. She was more or less talking like a madwoman. Just, you know, like, you know, they're just sitting there having breakfast or something, then all of a sudden, actually, I don't think she was eating either. But they're just doing something, you know, normal, and Mother Sachi would just be saying, you know, where's Krishna and Balaram? Where are they? I haven't seen them. You know, it's like, and everybody's just like, wow. This is like completely another, not making any sense at all. But in her ecstasy of separation, she was completely absorbed, you know, in Krishna, always talking about Krishna. That's all she was saying. Krishna, Krishna, where's Krishna? Where's Balaram? Where's my Nimai? Krishna, Krishna, like that. So this is the ecstasy, you know, this is the topmost described, topmost position of love of Godhead. It's always calling out, where's Krishna? Where is Krishna? Krishna, Krishna. In the Six Goswami's poem, we know that Prabhupada gave the purport that yes, this is the correct mood in Krishna consciousness, that where is Krishna? Krishna, where are you? Not that, yes, I'm found Krishna, I'm a very advanced devotee, I know Krishna, something like that. No, but where are you, please? So this is why we're basically following, in a way we're imitating, but in a good way, we're following the footsteps of the pure devotees. Not imitating in sense of, you know, externally, you know, imitating in the form, but in the sense of the process that they do. They're always talking about Krishna. Then if we always talk about Krishna, then we become more and more advanced. This is very important. In Bhagavad Gita it's explained, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jam Gunam Karanam Guna Samgosya Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu. That whatever one associates with, of course we are not Purusha, we are Prakriti. But Krishna explains that we sometimes take this position. We are Prakriti, we are the feminine, we are the dependent, we are subordinate, we are dependent on the supreme masculine, Krishna. Bhumirapa nalova yokama nobudi evacha ahankara itiya me bina prakriti ashtada apariyamitastvanyam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayadam dharyate jagat. There's all this dull energy, Krishna says, but above them I have my superior energy, apariyamitastvanyam prakritim vidhi me param, my energy which is superior, jiva bhuta, called the jiva. So we are Prakriti, we're energy. We are not Purusha. But Krishna gives us this understanding in this other verse, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jan Gunam. That sometimes, although we're Prakriti, we want to take the position of Purusha. So we can only take that position of Purusha in relationship to the material energy. It's not possible that we, Krishna is Purusha for the spiritual energy. We can only be Purusha, imitation Purusha, with the material energy. Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jam Gunam. And Krishna explains, Karanam Guna Sangosya Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu. So why do we get into we get into bad situation or good situation. Sad asad yoni janmasu. Karanam guna sangasa is due to the association, what we associate with. So if we are speaking about things different from Krishna, we are speaking about things separate from Krishna, speaking about other goals that are not Krishna, we're associating with those things. We're associating with those things. And the karanam guna sangasya, that is the cause of our bondage, our future situation of taking birth or being in a situation that is not Krishna conscious. So it's very, very simple. We associate with Krishna, we always talk about Krishna. Now, if we are discussing something of the material world, then we can say, you know, oh, this man is very, very powerful, President of the United States something. Or we can say, this man is very powerful, that's Maya, that's not Krishna conscious. It's very powerful. If we have to discuss something, then as devotees, you say, oh yes, it's Krishna's power, Krishna's the ability in man. Then it becomes Krishna conscious, isn't it? Because not that we can just go and speak about all kinds of mundane things and say, oh, it's all Krishna's energy, therefore it's devoted. But why are we speaking about that? That we have to then look at. I mean, why do you need to speak about the President of the United States? Or something to do with your service or something. There has to be some other connection. But everything Krishna has given, we can connect to Him. We can see He's the ability in man. He's the light of the sun and the moon. Everything is mundane in this world. And everything is also spiritual. It's also Krishna's energy. And this is how devotees always speaking like that. When you listen to Prabhupada's conversations, Prabhupada always brings it back to Krishna. Yes, Krishna, you know, that time the devotees are traveling on the train and there was a beautiful field of purple flowers and the sun was setting and it was so beautiful. But devotees say, oh, it's so beautiful, Srila Prabhupada, so beautiful. Prabhupada saying, we're not so concerned with the beautiful things of the world. We're more concerned with the beautiful person that's behind those beautiful things, you know. So it's very, very possible. And if we're in association with somebody speaking something that's really not Krishna conscious, then we can bring it round. I heard one lecture, my Guru Maharaj Takumaraj was saying, you can just like spin it around and saying, oh yeah, Krishna is also the most beautiful. Even if somebody's saying, oh, he's so beautiful or something. Oh yeah, but Krishna is the most beautiful. You can turn it around and bring Krishna. And that's how we, you know, training ourselves within, you know, to always think, relating everything to Krishna. And this is how we always can be talking about Krishna. And we can still go about our life, go about our work, whatever we're doing. But we can see how we can always be meditating within on how we are taking gradual steps, as Prabhupada said, how we're molding our life in such a way that we can always remember Krishna at every moment. And molding is like, it doesn't just happen. You know, a molding, a potter molds the clay. It takes time. You're molding something. You start with just a big block and then gradually you get more detail, then you put the very fine detail. So we're molding our life gradually in such a way that we can always remember Krishna and never forget Him. And then we're always on this platform of the topmost yogi. Whatever happens, good, bad, suffering, distress, whatever, we can always within, remember this verse, Krishna is the ultimate goal and we should have faith in Him to keep going. Thank you very much. Kantrashira Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Is there any question or comment? Ragat Mikamaj.
Prabhu, you brought up the narration of Judd Barrett and the fault of his was that he stopped seeing Krishna as the goal. You know, I couldn't help but think of the the famous letter that Prabhupada wrote Arundhati Devi Dasi when she was expressing to him that she couldn't do deity worship because of her small infant child she had to tend to. And Prabhupada replied that these children are not ordinary children. If you can't take care of him, I will take care of him personally. He says, you make this child your deity. So I'm wondering, is the, just to get clarity on Judd Bharat's, as you were describing, making Krishna number one, and everyone else, you know, two, three, four, five, like that. Well, look at how Prabhupada said, make this child your deity. I mean, you know, do the service needed.
Yeah.
Take responsibility. And so is it, I'm thinking, isn't the fault of Judd Bharat that he did not get that, get the sanction of his guru to go ahead with that line of activity?
Yeah.
And that's the real crux. I mean, that's how we can make the distinction here when I'm bringing up this thing of Prabhupada and Arundhati. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. There was a really nice lecture that my Guru Manjushri Thakur Maharaj gave once about Judd Bharat. And he said there that the fault that he made was that he gave up the association of devotees. So, like you said, guru, whether it's Diksha Guru, Acharya, or Shiksha Guru, but some guru. But that others can see our fault and when we're getting too attached and not... We may, you know, due to our attachment, we may not see things, or we don't see things as objectively as others see. So we may be caring for the child, but still, if we're getting too attached to that child as a child, as our child, as getting all involved in our emotions and our whole thing, then it's also not... It can also lead one astray in that sense. It's interesting that Prabhupada said, make the child your deity. So he didn't say, just look after the child. He said, make the child your deity, which means make the child the representative of Krishna. So he's still saying the same thing. You make Krishna the number one. And see, my service now is to look after this child just like I'd look after the deity. He's a representative of Krishna. So that's the kind of transcendental... you know, thing. But in answer to your question, yes, definitely. And I've heard that said by my by other acharyas, by other advanced devotees, that the main fault of Bharat Maharaj was that and actually I was going to bring that out before class. I was thinking, I mean, this is irrelevant, this is just my, anyway, I'll say it anyway. I was thinking to bring out this point, but I just didn't get around to it, so thank you for bringing it out, that Bharat Maharaj, he wasn't, you know, he didn't take guidance from others to see, to let them know, he didn't take guidance from others that you're going a bit too far with this deer worship. It's getting a bit too far, you know, and that's why association is so important. And as grihasthas, as people living in household, we're very lucky in that sense. We have a wife, our husband there. That we're living close, day-to-day contact, and they can very quickly say, you're getting the enjoying mentality, because it's obvious, you know? You know, I'm always giving you food, I'm always serving, cooking for you and everything, but you're not, like, reciprocate. You're just starting to get puffed up by it. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? It's very, very clear, it's very obvious. So, this is very important, and, of course, you know, Brahmacharya Sannyasi, they have... they're close, they need to have, they're close people that they're close with daily, on a daily level, their Sankirtan leader, their Bhakta leader. Whatever the situation is, there has to be devotees that we are living with, that we are living with. You know? There was recently one sannyasi who had some difficulty, and others, God brothers, commented, oh, we never knew what was going on with him. He didn't really reveal himself. We didn't really know where he was at, you know, what he was going through like that, the commenter. So this is similar situation to Judd Barrett. Whatever the ashram, it's a material consideration ultimately, whether sannyasi, grihastha, whatever. The transcendental consideration is Krishna's giving here, that one has to keep Krishna as the goal. So those who are outside of us, who are living with us, who are not us, they can very much easily see, more easily see than us, when we're taking something else as the goal and not Krishna. You know, they know us, they know our personality, you know, so that's, yeah, that, thank you for bringing that out. That's a really important point, yeah. Is everything? Yes, Hare Krishna.
I'd like to know that.
Sorry, can you speak up a bit?
Yeah. If my mother is a non-devotee and she's not interested on Krishna topic, then what am I going to do? I should stop associate with her. But if I stop associate with her, I will hurt her.
You'll hurt her?
Of course.
Is that what you said? Yeah. Prabhupada gives a nice thing here in the purport. He says, where is it? We should also take this opportunity in life to become as good as a great saint simply by not talking unnecessarily with unwanted persons. Of course, Sankhya Yoga means the intelligence. It means breaking things with the intelligence. Understanding we're not this body, etc. Family life is completely unintelligent. It's completely on the mental platform, to do with the emotions. I love this person because she was born from my womb. I love this person because she looked after me when I was little and... What? So, is there something wrong with what I'm saying? Oh, sorry. I thought Raghavan Kamadaji was giving some... Sorry. I'm very sensitive. It's okay. I thought I was going too far there. But this is the mental, the emotional level that I love this person because of what? There's no logic to it. So anyway, you can't bring logic into such a relationship with the mother. Like you said, you'll hurt her. I had personal experience of that when I first became a devotee. I told my parents, we're just like pieces of straw in the river, come together for some time. I laugh about it now, but I mean, that's, I don't know, I was 25 years old. I had done all kinds of so-called mind expanding things to try and find spiritual life. And now I'd found spiritual life and I just embraced it with, you know, full, well, whatever remnants of intelligence I had left. But it will very much hurt your mother if you say, you're bad association for me now, something like that. So it has to be done very gently. It has to be done with the emotions, because it's an emotional relationship. It's not a rational relationship. It's to do with the emotions. She's attached to you and you're attached to her. So how you can use that for Krishna's service, Krishna gives one example. That just like when a wife, if she actually starts to love somebody else, not the husband, if she has, it's called in English a paramour, then what we'll see is, in some case, she will do her home duties better so the husband doesn't suspect anything. If the society is very rigid and she knows she can't leave the husband, but she still wants to meet with this man, she will very carefully perform her duties. But within, she's always thinking of the other person. She'll do her duties even better, in a better way. So like that, when we become devotees, we can act with our parents in that way, thinking that Krishna, I realize now, Krishna is my real beloved. This person, they'll be dead within 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They'll go on and they will have another daughter in the next life, and they will be all affectionate and focused on them. It's a completely different person. It's not you. So rationally we can understand it. This is not a real lasting relationship. But now I have to deal with this. Krishna is always going to be there. In your next life, in your next life, in your next life, He will always be there. So He's your real, He's the real object of love and affection. Yeah? So you think like that, that let me be a perfect daughter. Let me be the most perfect daughter there is. Yes, mommy, I love you.
What happened? She tried to influence me. I'm in danger.
Pardon?
Because she's a second non-devotee. Part? At the same time, I also
she tried to influence
her,
you.
The topic.
How long have you? How long ago did you take up Krishna consciousness?
How long? I've been praying for Krishna for many years, but I didn't read the Krishna consciousness book. I just at home doing some simple offering like that.
Right. But when was the sort of point where you realized that your path and your mother's path was different?
Was that my mother said
a year ago or 2 years ago?
My mother said I'd be brainwashed.
Brainwashed, yeah. Yeah. So how long have you been practicing? Just 1 or 2 years? Some years? For some time?
And I just start chanting maybe around two years. And not systematically.
Yeah. So my parents, I think they probably held out some hope of me not being a devotee for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, I don't know. Once I got married and started to have kids, and they thought, oh, whatever. He's got some funny philosophy, but at least he's having kids and married, he's settled. But in the first couple of years, they see it as a great threat. But when the parents see that, after some time, you'll see, they see, actually this son, my daughter, who's Krishna conscious, her life is more together, she's more happy, she's more satisfied than the other people. Then they start, the details of philosophy just sort of become whatever. They don't understand it, but they don't really care. They're just happy that you're happy. But in the beginning, they see the philosophy itself as a very great threat to their way of life. So you don't worry about the philosophy, just give us some prasada. But as Prabhupada says here, we don't talk unnecessarily with unwanted persons. So don't talk unnecessarily. Don't bring up all the things. If she's fixed in that, just, okay. You probably won't be able to change her very soon. But you can make her happy and peaceful by just being nice to her. But the details, I don't know how much she is trying to influence you. It means as soon as you walk in the door, she's trying to give you meat, she's trying to tell you this and that and everything. Then you may have to just say, look, if you treat me like that, I can't be with you. You might have to explain that to her. I want to be with you, but it's too much. It depends on the example. Some parents, they try to kidnap their children and, like, you know, deprogram them and all kinds of things. So that's pretty extreme. You may not be able to just take a soft line like I'm describing here with such people. You have to see, you know, what is the person. But the general thing, Krishna gives in the Gita, that don't disturb the minds of ignorant people who are attached to their life, but engage them in acts of devotion for their gradual purification. So don't disturb her mind with philosophy and this and that. Just give her some prasada. Just be nice to her. She'll probably be happy. Oh, okay.
My mother took prasada.
Pardon?
My mother took prasada.
Yeah. So, like that. Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else? Any provision?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you said that true meaning of silence is to talk only about Krishna. But when we meet our friends and who are not Krishna conscious right now, and when we try to influence them or preach them, that time we expect that they'll listen to us. Similarly, they also expect that because when we have friends, there need to be something common in interest. So sometimes we also need to listen about what their interests are. So does that mean that we are not doing Krishna Katha, so does that violate this? principle, vow of being silent.
It depends what's the goal of having that friend. What's your ultimate goal of having that friend?
Is to bring him to Krishna consciousness.
So then you have to just do whatever brings him to Krishna consciousness. But don't forget that goal among it. Prabhupada said, don't go fishing, but don't get wet. Prabhupada once talked to a racing car driver, and he sat talking about racing cars for about 10 minutes. This car, that car, how fast they go and everything. But then brought it back to, yes, Krishna is the ability man. Krishna is that excitement. He's adventure. He's that. You'll find that in Krishna. You don't have to risk your life. Just chant Hare Krishna. You'll get more than what that racing car driver is getting. So Prabhupada had to listen to something. You listen to the conversations. If you want to learn how to preach, just listen to Prabhupada. Better than anything I can say. The best thing I could say was listen to Prabhupada conversations of how Prabhupada talked, and also how he talks about how he talked, how he dealt with his friends. But if you can remember the whole time, I'm just listening to this nonsense so that I can try and bring him to Krishna consciousness. But if it gets to the point where you realize there's no way this person is going to become Krishna conscious in the very near future, then you have to say, why do I have to sit around and listen to this person for, you know? I have to be careful. If it's friends, it means there's something on the emotional level. There's some from we went to school together or something like that. So there's all this sort of other emotional stuff that's not really related to spiritual life. So you just have to tread kind of carefully and see, is there some benefit to it? But if you can connect it somehow, I mean, even some very old Prabhupada disciples, you know, they have, oh, this is my friend, he's my favorite non-devotee friend. I've heard that sometimes, you know. He's someone they went to school with, you know, he's like a pious person, he's not, but it's someone they've known for like decades and decades. And you could say, well, that could be, conducive to my Krishna consciousness to have some friends that I know through my whole life. That will help me to be steady in my Krishna consciousness. So if you can analyze it in that way, and it's real, it really is that. It's not just that, oh, he goes bowling and I like to go bowling, so I'll keep him as... No, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying you have to actually think about it. Then it's okay, you know? Yeah. But this is very fine levels of application. It's not the philosophy. So it's time, place, circumstance. So it changes according to the circumstance. The same person, maybe now he's good, and then all of a sudden his mentality changes. He gets into intoxication, or he becomes starts to become envious, critical things about the devotees. This you have to be very, very careful of. Very careful. If they start to say anything about devotees, like, that devotee's always like, oh, just anything like that, then that's when you really be careful. Because hearing any kind of criticism of devotees, that really hurts our spiritual life a lot. So like that. Anything else? Okay. Doing this ring it out now. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.